Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. It's Riza, Oscar, Tony, and myself, Carlos, here to have a good time, take names, and ass kicked later or something like that. I'm not sure.
That's right. That's a good time for me, baby.
We're taking names and kicking ass.
Take
names
chewing gum.
I think we chew gum as we go. Right, Oscar? That's how it goes.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to kick ass and chew gum, and I'm all out of chewing gum.
That's from Roddy Piper.
What?
What?
Raisa, what are these two talking about?
I don't know.
That's from the Alien movie.
Yeah, They Live.
Oh,
yeah.
Roddy Piper.
Oh, the sequel. Yeah, the Alien movie. Yeah,
did
I say
that right?
La Segunda, right?
Yeah, it's Roddy Piper, but most people say Rowdy.
Okay.
But you gave him, you were not about
Listen,
the nickname.
Listen, I just got put on the spot, so my brain, that's the only thing that came out. Roddy Piper.
Oh my God.
This is more like a porn name, but anyway.
Actually,
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, you're right. Damn.
Anyway,
I have a little pika for today.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what kind of stuff y'all watched when you were kids. Like, let's play rewind and let's take it all the way back and tell me, like, what kind of stuff were you into? What were some of your favorite cartoons, TV shows? What kind of clothes you wore back when you were in elementary school? All that stuff.
Oh, damn. Wow. Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, just paint me a picture of, you know, your seven-year-old self.
My seven-year-old self.
Mm. Yeah.
I was a little Cuban boy in Mexico.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
The only time we had cable was when we lived in Mexico, so that we could have, there was one channel that had American shows. It sort of like compiled the best of American shows. So I remember I like the cartoons would be like the Gummy Bears, Wuzzles, Q-Bert.
Oh my God, Q-Bert. Wuzzles.
And snorkels, yeah. And I remember.
It's the snorks. It's not snorkels.
I don't remember the snorkels.
It was a companion. It was from the same people that did the Smurfs. So they had the snorks.
Right, the snorks.
Underwater snorks. Yeah. Basically underwater Smurfs.
That's exactly right.
Essentially.
Nunca. Huh. Pitufos en español.
That's no, yo sé pitufos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, so what kind of stuff were you wearing as a seven-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah, Tony. What were you wearing?
Well,
oh God, ew.
I was a big Madonna fan, and I loved
really?
Michael Jackson. Oh yes, honey.
So you were dressing like Madonna and Michael Jackson at seven?
No, I dressed. I wish. No, I dressed the same as I do now.
Oh.
So then there's no bearing into it. I was a really big Madonna. What did you wear?
Yeah, I wanted.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Related to that.
I was dressed then like a virgin.
Okay. All right. I have a visual.
In
I'm not
true
sure how
Madonna,
I feel about it,
a super fan of Madonna. He dressed
my
like a virgin.
Oh my god!
All right.
Raisa, what about you? What were you like? 7 year. Take us back.
Well, I was probably wearing my little Havana baseball uniform on a Saturday morning because I had baseball practice every Saturday morning, and when I would come home. Then I would be able to watch the cartoons that were still on, unless I caught some before when I was getting ready, if I woke up early. But, you know, a bitch hates to wake up early. Always. I've literally always been, I don't know about you guys, but I've always been like, I've never been someone that likes to wake up early. Like, I'm always the one that...
never been somebody, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I said that all double negative and not whatever. You know.
But wait, would your parents wake you up even though you didn't have anything to do that day?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Tiene que levantar a limpiar. Or somebody would wake me up. It's a Cuban house with a bunch of Cuban kids and a mom and a dad that, like, everybody thinks they're yelling, but they're really just talking normally to me. But it's loud, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I feel like around that age, yeah, I was wearing that. And then I would just come home and just like shower, or I'd be a little cochina and just stay in my uniform and just watch cartoons and TV and or play basketball outside in my uniform too, whatever, like with my baseball cleats. I love to be outside. That's something about my family that, like, I remember when I was little, I used to hate, it was like, don't get off the TV, go outside and play, or everything was go outside and play. And like now I look at kids and I'm like, yo, nobody wants to go outside and play. They want to be on their fucking computers and their iPads and their phones and their Zoom, everything, right? Which is, I get it. It's fine. Technology is cool, whatever.
I was going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, sure. But I guess like I think about it and I'm like, I really didn't play a lot of video games. I didn't play a lot. Oh. I didn't watch a lot of stuff all the time because we were always like doing sports or like forced to be outside and do something.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had, you know, it's like I had it all pretty much mapped out. When I was 7 years old, I didn't get cable until a year before, after. So everything changed because I had access to a bunch of stuff like Nickelodeon and all that. That's how I learned English. But I did what I was, you know, the real Ghostbusters, I think, was obviously one of the my favorite animated shows that I watched religiously.
Okay, yes. Carlos, yes. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
What?
Okay, so you know why it's called the real Ghostbusters,
yes, absolutely.
Right?
I know why it's called
the real Ghostbusters. Tell me.
Oh, my
go ahead, Oscar.
I love this. I love because so back in the day, so Ghostbusters, really kind of, the really movie that we know.
Yeah.
That's not the first Ghostbusters that existed. No. So way back in the day, I want to say late 60s or early 70s, mm-hmm. there was a show called The Ghostbusters that was like a sort of Laurel and Hardy type show with like a man in a gorilla costume. And so when Ghostbusters showed up, they were like, yo, you stole our name. So
well, they tried to Ghostmasters, Ghostblasters, tried everything and they kept coming back to Ghostbusters. So I think it was what was a company that they were like, we'll just do it and figure it out legally.
Yes,
after.
I want to say Warner Brothers was.
No, it wasn't Warner Brothers. It's the one with the
MGM.
No. Oh my God, I've seen it in my head.
Paramount. I don't know. Are we just throwing out names?
Universal.
No, that's not a bad guess.
Universal.
There it is.
Universal Honey Bunny. Mm-hmm.
Honey yeah, Bunny.
You know, of course, Universal Studios is the one that had it. Of course, Universal Pictures. But then it gets deeper because what happened was Filmation was the company that was in charge of doing He-Man.
And He-Man.
They had issues because that was problematic because they were ripping up Conan, but that's another story. But the point is that when Ghostbusters came out, then the Filmation was like, you know what? Since this is a weird loophole, let's take the rights of the old one and make a cartoon. So then what they did is they put out a cartoon version of the original series that was completely different and was called Ghostbusters, which is why when Ghostbusters, the movie, the Universal movie came out with the cartoon, they decided to add the real so that people would realize that it was in the old. And that led to a lot of shitty moments when we went renting for movies somebody would put the tape of the Ghostbusters as opposed to the real when I would try to rent to see like the cartoon and it would be awful because I didn't have access to drive back. So I'd be stuck with this thing like with the ghost. That's why there's not a hatred, but I think for a lot of kids that were like almost like duped into watching the other thing that you didn't want to watch.
Oh yeah, which is so old and dated. Yeah, it's like why?
What a traumatic experience Carlos just led us into.
Yes, I do know why they call it the Ghostbusters.
Oh my God. I feel like for someone that has been told many, many times since I've been growing up that I remind them of a cartoon, just in general, not any cartoon specifically, but I feel like I'm constantly being told I remind people of cartoon. And I didn't watch that many. So maybe that's why, I don't know. I'm like,
but I was outside too. I was going to say that it was definitely part of like, I was in Little League. Playing outside was definitely important. So I think it was a balance because technology hadn't caught up to the point where we're all like, I was very much obsessed with Nintendo. I got Nintendo when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
So I had Nintendo. But it was also like a social activity where I would go to, it would be with friends. I mean, I would play by myself, but it was like we would go to people's houses to play or they would come to my house. It was still a very much like a physical social thing because we didn't have the internet then.
I read the Sunday cartoons every morning.
Okay.
I don't know. My dad.
The funny papers?
The funnies. Yeah. My dad would pull that out for me because he reads the newspaper every day. Oh. I do remember a couple cartoons which I would say I had to like do a quick search to like refresh my memory, honestly. And I remember, okay, so obviously we have like the Rugrats and like, you know, like the ones that we all know, but I specifically remember like these were certain cartoons that I loved watching was Recess.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, Recess.
Pinky and the Brain. Tiny Toons.
Yeah. Tiny Toon Adventures.
Recess came later, but yeah, Tiny Toons, early 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
Animaniacs.
Pinky and the Brain.
That was a symbol.
Yep.
Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
This one is old. I watched this, like the old ones, the Bobby's World. I used to love
Bobby's World.
Yeah.
Here.
Howie Mandel. I used to watch it in Spanish.
Oh, really?
Because they used to have it. I actually never watched it in English because when they were showing it on TV, it was before I got cable. So I would watch Bobby's World in Spanish. And Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies. I kind of probably watched that. Yeah. But I just don't remember what was the lineup, I guess, is what I'm what like I was what? Like the lineup, because I feel like every Saturday, like, you know, it was like Friday night was like
TGIF. It seemed like you were watching like Saturday morning cartoons on ABC, it feels like.
Or something like that.
Did you watch Doug?
I did watch Doug.
Part of your thing? Okay.
Nobody ever knows what that means, and I do it all the time. I love
Can't go on because we'll get charged.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm like, I also watched a lot of Disney. We did watch a lot of like the Disney movies and all those like Disney cartoons and stuff like that.
But... we've talked about this before because there's a Saturday morning cartoons, but there's also the Disney afternoon, which was
iconic.
DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Chippendales. Like every day, coming back from school, DuckTales.
Chippendales.
Gummy Bears, Tailspin, Rescue Rangers, which are all coming back.
Yeah, they're all coming back. And those for sure, I always watch, because again, those were later. So I was able to catch them after like my like practices and stuff like that, or my whatever. But I was also going to say, do you guys remember like Proud Family? And
Oscar talked about it. Oscar talked about it.
There was another one.
Not So Proud.
Something's World? No. It was in Bobby's World. It was another one. It was a Black Family.
Beekman's World.
I think there was another Black Family cartoon that I used to watch as well. That it was like...
on the Disney Channel?
No. I think this one was like kind of naughty.
Naughty?
Like naughty, like...
Bebe's World. It was a movie.
Yes. There you go.
It was a movie.
Bebe's Kids. That's why it was like kind of naughty.
We figured it out.
Thank you. Sorry, guys. I'm not good with the cartoons, but
it was with Tone Lock. Was it the guy that was doing the voice?
Que sé yo.
Yes.
I literally just remember it being naughty.
Yeah. It was Bebe's Kids. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know what? When you said that, this was around the time that E had just started, and they had I just have a very strong visual of like the early signage of E Entertainment. Like that was where I used to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because they also like rerun. They would rerun it a bunch and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like my cartoon stuff. Okay. I don't know. Do you guys have any other ones? What about you, Oscar?
So I watched a lot of stuff that was because, you know, I watched stuff in Colombia. Mm-hmm. So
did you have the American channel?
We did like not have the American channels. No. So we would watch stuff in my black and white TV. So everything was in black and white. And, you know, like in Colombia, everything is sort of like 5 years too late. Like I would say even more than 5 years. So growing up, the stuff that I would watch is like specifically anime. Because anime...
Messenger.
Messenger. We would... somehow the anime stuff didn't really translate from like Japan to the US, but mm-hmm. it just went right to Colombia.
Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of Latin American countries,
I think.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. For sure. Yes. That's interesting. God. So straight up, the stuff that me and my cousins would watch religiously, Super Campeones.
Oh.
Do you know that one? It's a soccer anime. That it's like, and you know, I don't care about sports, but back, I mean, in Colombia, first of all, soccer is life, football is life, and Super Campeones was an anime that was like,
I've never heard you say that football is life.
I know
football is life.
Yeah, to 7-year-old me who didn't play sports, I knew that I was okay. like, well,
Míralo, wow. papi. Okay.
He's auditioning for Ted Lasso.
We had a little, when I was tiny, we had Messenger and G-Force. You remember that?
Of course, G-Force.
That's the extent of the anime that I grew up watching in Puerto Rico, but not a lot of like.
I see.
And I feel like there's some other, but I can't. But yeah, I think those were the most.
For me, it was that Supercampeones. It was definitely Voltron.
Voltron. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Thing.
I think and I then, remember that.
But I connect Voltron with like Silverhawk and like.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's more of that. I connect that with.
Yes.
Is Thundercats in that?
With Thundercats, yeah.
Universe.
Yeah. But Thundercats wasn't an anime. Like, that's all I watched. And to me, the big thing that I watched is, and I got to talk about it in a podcast that I love, because no one knows this anime. It's called Caballeros del Zodiaco.
Nope.
And it was
Zodiac?
In,
del Sobaco.
Oh.
Zodiaco.
I was like, Zodiac, Caballeros?
What? I heard that too, Riza.
Caballeros like, del Zodiaco.
I was like, yeah. I know you love horoscopes and all that, but damn, that started young.
Yeah, but it was. It, literally, that was the show. It was defenders. In Japan, it's called Saint Seiya. And it, in English, it's called Saint Seiya. So if you search Saint Seiya, you'll find them. But I know them as Caballeros del Zodiaco. Mm. And it was these warriors, very, very, I mean, and this is like pre-Power Rangers love. Because that was my obsession when I came to the U.S. was Power Rangers. But it was all of these warriors that's like fought for a zodiac. So there was like the leader of Aries, Capricornio.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Okay. And it was an anime that.
And
like,
when they came together, they formed Walter Mercado.
Exactly. Exactly. The Megazord of Latin America. Truly. Yeah, but that was my vibe. That was my vibe.
I would love a Walter Mercado animated series. Can you imagine?
We need it. We need it. But
we think we should wrap it up, but I think I also had a second life in terms of when we had cable, but I didn't get Fox till later, till I was like 13. Mm-hmm. And that opened up a whole new, like with The Simpsons, Baywatch, Married with Children,
Tracy Ullman Show,
Power Rangers. Yeah. All that stuff was like, I had always heard of it, but I would never be able to see it until Fox finally came to Puerto Rico. And I was like, it was such a huge, like, yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, obviously at some point, like we all probably like watched a bunch of like the same one, you know, because like I think we also came up in a time where cartoons were, they were like really big. Like, not that they're not now, but I think like, they were like really, really, really big. And because like now I even think about it as an adult and I'm like, everybody would be like, watch BoJack, watch. And I'm like, I don't want to watch a cartoon. I'm an adult. And then I watched BoJack and I loved it. Then I watched Big Mouth and I fucking loved it. So like clearly I just love like cartoons that are naughty.
Well, it's interesting because the medium, the animated medium has evolved. That's just for children, you know, you don't have cartoons just for children. And also, with the rise of like shows like SpongeBob, you have cartoons that are for children, but also for adults as well.
Yes, Ren and Stimpy.
Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead.
Daria. So, you know, you have those shows that transcend age. You know,
Liquid Television was a huge.
Liquid Television.
Yeah.
That's why I
need to say Ninja Turtles because I didn't bring it up, but obviously in the late 80s, like when I was Ninja Turtles.
I watched those too.
You did, Carlos? Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is how you find out about this.
You learn
about
something every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
You guys, let's pick an episode from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and watch it over a cafecito break.
Okay. Case of the Killer Pizza.
Okay. Dale, mira, he knew the episodito.
Mira.
Or The Return of the Neutrinos. One or the other.
That's my baby animal impression from Muppet Babies.
I thought you were doing an Alpha 5 impression.
Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah.
Zordon.
My God.
Ay, Zordon.
So good.
Thank you.
Okay, dale.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Want to make mom's day?
Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back from our cafecito break, and joining us to, oh, excuse me, slurp, slurp, we are back from our cafecito break.
I was worried about that.
I know. I was about to miss that.
Tony was not going
to
have
I was going to wait to call you out, but
I know, but luckily I caught myself. But irregardless, today we are joined by the iconic, I mean a staple in any Latinx person's life. I mean, it's the fabulous Alisa Rey is here today. Oh my God.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. You guys have like the best frequency. So I'm so excited to be part of this alignment.
Right.
Yes, we love to hear that.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal though.
Yeah.
Huge deal. Listen, I'm fanboying hard right now because for those of you who aren't familiar with Alisa Rey's work, I mean, shame on you, number one. But number two, I bet you
You probably already do, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, let's break it down. You were in All That. You were in
OG.
The legit OG.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Para que lo sepan.
You were in All That. You were in The Proud Family.
Yeah.
An animated. I mean, I'm obsessed with The Proud Family. Just like La Cienega is iconic. One of the best Latinx animated characters ever of all time, period.
For sure. Period.
You were in Passions. You were in Spider Games, a show I was obsessed with.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, you have no idea. MTV Spider Games? Come on now.
All right.
Alisa, you're just literally iconic. You're literally iconic.
How are you guys? I'm so good. Can I just have you do my intro in life on the daily?
With pleasure. Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I had like a montage of you like in my head as he was like saying it. I literally was just like, oh my God, like everything I was obsessed with, like watching.
Absolutely. Most of like, us truly, are doing what we're doing because those were the things that totally inspired us when we were growing up.
I feel blessed to be a part of a lot of nostalgic things that like now with All That and The Proud Family coming, you know, back with their relaunches. It's been a really serendipitous full moment for me. I've been in this game for like 30 years. Mm. And, you know, I feel like those two shows in particular, All That and The Proud Family, with the diversity, with the, you know, trip down memory lane and with the previous fans and now the new fans for the new generation. It's like, you know, you have the parents and then their kids now getting acquainted. It's kind of like, you know, the best dosage of magic that I could have ever have asked for. So I feel immensely blessed to still be doing what I love and being Latina and playing all these roles that are definitely, you know, a forefront for the Latin culture. So it's definitely been an amazing journey thus far.
Oh, my gosh, for real.
And like speaking of like of you saying it too, like the, you know, the reboots and like, you know, bringing back things, like I will say I'm one of the people that usually I'm really anti for reboots. Like I've said this on the podcast, so the listeners will know, but I'm going to tell you right now, all of your reboots are like the ones that I'm like, no, I wanted this for such a long, long time because I just feel like they're so iconic and good and like, you guys are just gonna like crush like the fuck out of this. Like, I can't wait because I'm so excited.
And also the big thing too for me is like those shows, specifically All That and The Proud Family, I think are evergreen. You know what I mean? Like you capture, I mean, All That is very 90s. Yes, 100%. But like if you watch an episode of All That today, it still holds up. You know what I mean? You have kids.
Yes.
I mean, the most talented group of kids. I mean, you saw that as a kid and you're like, yo, I could be this person.
That was the only thing when you were that age. You were like, this is the thing that I want. This is the only way, the only thing that I see that I could actually work out at 15 or 16 is this thing. Nothing else. Like, there was, you know, SNL is too old. Like, it was the perfect.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I feel like SNL was definitely.
I mean, definitely being at such a young age and doing a show like All That on Nickelodeon and being the only person out of Manhattan, New York, because I'm from New York. Shout out to my East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I reside in the West, I get the best of both. You know, and being Latina and being the only Latina on All That. You know, everyone was like, was that a lot of pressure? I was like, no, if anything, that was an honor because I know little kids are going to be able to sit down and relate to me. And it's the same thing with the Proud Family, having another project that's animated that is a very unique, magical essence in its own with it being so diverse and having such a diverse cast, such as, you know, Tommy Davidson, Carlos Mencia, you know, everybody, the list goes on and on. I feel like TV's not like the way it used to be. So like you said, having these shows be brought back, it's if it ain't broke, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. Yes.
If it ain't
broke,
let's do it again.
Exactly. Let's do it again. I'm like, I have to take back my previous statements like of a year ago or whatever. Cause I'm like,
I'm normalizing for the apology video.
I'm taking
Risa.
It. No, I'm taking it. I'll take it. I'll take it, guys.
How did you get started in the performing arts? Was that something that you were passionate about at an early age? How did you discover it? How did you find it?
Oh, yeah. Like 3 years old, I tried to stick my head in the TV and my mother, God rest her soul, was like, honey, that's not the way you're going to get to Sesame Street. I was like, okay. So literally I took some 4x6s that were like crimped hair, black and white. I looked like I was wearing like a prom quinceañera dress representing. And by the grace of God, you know, I got picked up by an agency and literally the first thing I auditioned was a Honey Nut Cheerios commercial. And it was a SAG commercial, a union commercial. Goodness. And I booked it and I joined SAG in 1990. Even though I'm immortal. So, you know, I will never tell.
I was about to be like, are you?
Damn.
Yes.
Give me your potion.
You got some of that.
I'm still 11 Reeves years book. Old.
Yeah. No,
but no, I've known for a long time I wanted to be in the business. I always was kind of like, you know, the one like, Mira, look at me. I want to sing. I want to dance for my family. And I would say probably by like 7 or 8, things got really going for me. And then I got a nationwide casting call from my manager about an untitled sketch comedy show on Nickelodeon. It wasn't even called All That. And Brian Robbins, shout out to him, who is now the president of Nickelodeon, was the creator of All That. Wow. And he was coming off of a show called Head of the Class. So basically, you know, they have this amazing sketch comedy idea. And I remember getting off the plane in Orlando, Florida, and going straight to the trailer and meeting Keenan and Kel and Josh and all my co-stars and Lori Beth and Katrina and Angelique and going, oh, my God, what we have is magic. And then the minute we were on stage, it was just like an explosion and being in front of the live studio audience. When we finally got that affirmation with the laughter, like I knew that this show was going to go. And then having the iconic different guest stars like Aaliyah, God Rest Her Soul, and TLC singing the theme song, Left Eye, God Rest Her Soul. You know, it just was like so magical and so ahead of its time. So I knew and I was waiting for it to come back. And now being able to be on the new season, helping pass down the torch, playing Kiki the Island Girls 25 years later, you know, and new characters and seeing the new kids just really resonate with me and being little versions of us. I mean, it was just, it was really surreal. I was very emotional and I was kind of anxious getting back. But then once I was on set, it was like never left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's how you know.
That's so beautiful. Did you guys, so I always think about this with like iconic shows, like All That and, you know, other ones. Did you guys stay like in touch, like, for still like till now when you're like, oh my God, like, is that
oh,
like,
with, yeah. With certain... I mean, I'm in touch with Keenan. I'm in touch with Josh and Lori Beth and Kel and, you know, all of them. I mean, I think it's a frequency that is never going to get stale.
Yeah.
We met each other at such a young age. I mean, I was 12 turning 13 and I was on the show from like 12 to almost 16. And then coming back now as an adult, it trips me out how literally I think that friendship, because we all started together. I mean, granted, like Kenan Thompson was coming off the Mighty Ducks, so he's been doing some things. But a lot of us, like, this was like my first series regular role, as it was for some of my other co-stars. So no matter what, I think we all know, because it was so magical, that it's that respect that we're like that tribe, and we're always going to have that love no matter where we are in our life. We can always pick up a conversation from where it left off, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I can totally see that.
So
yeah.
You moved from New York, and where in New York are you from exactly?
Manhattan.
Manhattan, ooh. Nice.
I'm from Queens, so. Okay. I love
East Coast. Represent East Coast, all right.
I started on the Lower East Side, and then I moved uptown like the Jeffersons. That's my job.
And then you moved on down to Florida. How was that transition for you, moving from New York all the way to Florida? Orlando, Florida.
Or I was about to say, because Orlando, yeah.
Very specific.
Universal as our back yard, and so on my lunch breaks I went and rode the Terminator ride.
Bro, what the dream. Really? The literal dream.
That is such a wild thing. Like, it was, because you imagine that.
It was so hard. It was such hard work.
Yeah, I got to make people laugh, and I got to do the ride.
Did you get to cut the lines? I'm sure you didn't have to do the lines.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, I gotta go shoot my show. I'm not gonna lie, I think we were able to kind of like cut the lines, but then there were times I was like, guys, this isn't really fair.
What is it?
It kind of is. I think the trickiest part was getting my hair and makeup done, and then you had like this tour that would go through.
Oh, yeah, because they would show into the makeup. Yeah.
And I'd be like, this is so awkward, and I'm waving to people as they're like staring at us, you know, getting prosthetics. But even that was just nostalgic. They don't have stuff like that anymore. You know what I mean?
No.
Access to the tram tour. Yeah. That's,
it was one of a kind.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, we're talking about this experience, but I just saw the Orange Years. I don't know if you guys caught, have you seen it? I mean, that was such a fantastic trip. And you worked on it. Not only were you staring at it, but you're also a producer for the Orange Years, which is on Hulu.
Yes. It's on Hulu and a million other platforms.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
I saw it on Hulu.
good. It was a no-brainer for me. When I got contacted to originally be in it, I kind of call myself a little bit of the connector when it comes to being a producer. You know, I knew that I would be able to introduce them to an immense amount of talent. And I knew that what they had already was just golden. And Scott Barber, all the way down to the rest of the crew that's part of the Orange Years, I literally felt that this was something that the fans needed to see. And we covered everything from like literally the beginning to present time, all the way down to like the first female president, Geraldine Laybourne. And for me, as a producer, it just made sense. I mean, I've always done kid-friendly content, so I couldn't say no to it just being on camera as talent. I had to like get my hands dirty, and it's been great working with Gravitas, who picked up our project, and now, you know, we've been able to find it at home, and it's been accessible, you know, and it came out last November, and now it's available, you know, so if people want to know how to find out about it, go to orangeears.com, because right there, you can find out a way to watch it. Yeah.
Super comprehensive, because I had seen some stuff on YouTube, but like nothing all like put together in such a great fashion, so I really appreciate it for sure.
Oh, yay!
And the cool thing about the Orange Years is that the thing that I didn't realize was that there were so many powerful women behind the scenes at Nickelodeon, and how, I mean, the power showcase in that documentary is like stunning. I was just like in awe of these women who were just like, we're going to take risks. We're going to take chances. And every risk they took paid off in a major way.
Oh,
so it's worth
awesome.
Watching. I can't recommend it enough. It's fantastic.
I mean, we have you know, Mark Summers, Phil Moore, Melissa Joan Hart, you know, like Kenan and Cal. I mean, the list goes on and on. You name it. Everyone and anyone from Nickelodeon is in it. And I mean, there's just never enough time to add everybody, you know, like, you know, certain people surface after the fact. And we're like, no. But
sounds like a sequel. Sounds like
it's like forgetting someone's birthday. You're like,
expansion.
Yes. Yeah.
But I feel like we covered the basics for sure.
Yeah. There's for sure so much to cover for like something like that too. Imagine like that's you guys are doing the work like for real. So I have a question. Okay. So you just actually mentioned how you had been doing, you know, like kid friendly stuff and all of this. but you also were on one of my favorite soap operas that I used to watch with my bestie, Passions.
Yes.
That was also a very iconic, you know, soap opera. Like it was like, it was to like, at least
it
for
was
me,
like be- quirky and different. And
you, yeah, there was like, you know, it was the, exactly what you said, like stuff would come out that like I wouldn't see like on a Days of Our Lives or something like that I did also watch. And like even like the like Latino like telenovelas from like Mexico.
Yeah.
And I love that. So how was that for you, like transition wise? Because, you know, we watched you grow up on all that. And then now you're on this like super like cool like soap opera, which is it's different, you know.
For me, the transition, I think it was a little, you know, it was a challenge because everyone, like to this day, they still are very like Nickelodeon, Disney. I'm like, but I'm also an adult and I have grown up, you know. But at the same time, you know, I think it was all about just the right roles. I mean, after all that, I actually moved on to a show called One World. It was a Peter Engel show. And it was like Saved by the Bell, New Class, Hang Time, City Guys, and my show One World. And it was about a bunch of adopted brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Oh, I watched that.
My God.
You just unlocked
the hang time, yes, right?
I played Marcy Blake, and I actually won a Hollywood Reporter for Best Young Star Award for that show. And that was really, really iconic. Raven Simone gave me my award at the time.
Oh,
and
wow. So cool.
That transition I did for 3 years, and then that kind of moved me out of sketch comedy into sitcom. And then literally after that is when I embarked on doing like, you know, guest stars on NYPD Blue, 6 Feet Under, Without a Trace, you know, and things like that. And then when the Passions opportunity came, I remember it was kind of trippy. I was just talking to my husband the other day about this. I came on to Passions playing a character named Kelly that was in a storyline with the Chad and Whitney characters. And then after a couple episodes, they sit me down and they go, okay, we have an idea. Because at the time, a lot of people don't know, but I also sing. So I was in a girls group with Hollywood Records. We were called 3Gs. We had a song on the Princess Diary soundtrack.
Oh.
And yeah, it was called Second Chance. I'm a jack of all trades. You know,
you really are.
And Passion sat me down and go, we have a new character. Her name, and I kind of loved it. It was kind of cute. It was like Sydney Valentine.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's going to be a recording artist. And, you know, we know that you sing and you freshly have a record deal. Like, we would like to incorporate this. So they gave me some lines. They wanted to see how I would be with the verbiage. And on the spot, they're like, we're just going to go from a reoccurring to a series regular, even though you're completely a different character. And that's what's funny about soaps. Like, you could have your head cut off and still come back.
Oh, yes.
Is that the evil twin? No, it's not.
Basically. And so that's kind of what happened. And it was a great experience working on Passions because after that, I ended up going on to Bold and the Beautiful for a little bit as a recurring as well. And, you know, then, you know, TV and more film took off, hence where I landed with animation and, you know, where I am today.
What a journey.
What a journey.
Seriously. Wow. I mean, you, to speak on the jack of all trades bit, you also are like a board member on the, the California Dance Institute.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, having a love for the arts, I think it's imperative to be able to work with inner city kids. So in New York City, I was with a company called National Dance Institute, which was founded by the late Jacques Demois, who unfortunately passed away a couple days ago. He was my teacher and the founder of the company, and he was around forever, an immense light and frequency to offer the world. And so when I found out they had kind of like, you know, a brother-sister company out here in California, it was beyond imperative that I got involved. And so once I met with the company, it made sense for me to come on board as like an ambassador and as a board member. And to this day, you know, I'm highly involved with their galas, with their promotions, trying to get the word out there because it's for inner city kids. It's a program that specializes within public schools, and it gives kids an opportunity to learn how to dance basically for free. And so, I mean, it's a win-win. And then, of course, you know, if you want to get more involved in the program, then you can join their SWAT programs, their celebration programs, and summer camp programs. But it's a great inner city nonprofit organization that gives diverse kids an opportunity to just be creative within the arts. And like, who can say no to that, right?
Yeah,
that's dope.
Oh, that's so nice.
I got all deep.
No, but that's
is
good.
Is there a piece of the pie that you haven't?
Yeah,
I feel like you.
Is there? Yeah, is there something? Is there
that you're looking forward to, or you haven't? Or...
Yeah, you know, I just I'm all about giving back. You know, I believe like what you put out in the universe, you know, comes back to you. But it's not about that either. It's just about like making people smile, trying to extend that, you know, olive branch. And there's so many people that don't have an opportunity. And if they could just creatively express themselves, I mean, that's the way to go. That's why when I'm not on set, I coach acting. So I coach acting to kids and adults. And that has been such a ray in my life, because literally I've been doing it for the past decade. And I love being able to teach the kids because I know what they're going through, but then teaching adults because I now know what they're
going through. Yeah, that experience is just really important. Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting, though, because I did see that you coached, and I was like, that's number one, amazing, because like how cool to like get to like, you know, work with someone that like you also like really like respect, like and have seen their work and are like, oh my God, like this person gets to like help me like with my, you know, tools. But also now that like, you know, we're even just talking about like the different types of things you've done, you really do have that legit experience of sketch, sitcom, multi, you know, like different types.
She's trying to say is there are a lot of acting coaches that have no business being acting coaches.
Truly. No, for real, but also like that haven't really even stepped foot like on these sets and don't understand, you know, like the actual like vibe of that energy anyways. And that's, I think, very important. And like, definitely people check out her website for that, because you want to get coached by someone that has been on set even more. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I appreciate that, because, you know, a lot of the teachers that I've had in the past, like some of my teachers were like Jeff Goldblum, the actor. You know, Leslie Kahn, she's amazing out here in California. But the thing is that, you know, you want to make sure you work with someone that you're aware that's a working actor themselves. I mean, most, or if they're not a working actor, that they've had, you know, it dealt with that experience a little bit. I mean, even most directors and producers have dabbled in acting. I think anyone in the arts, we've all been having our fair share of being a performer. But for me, it just made sense to teach. And so I had classes that I was doing in person, and then the pandemic happened. And now I'm just doing everything remotely, privately. But I personally like private classes, because then it's all about you, you know?
But also a lot of auditions are happening this way. So it's it's still helpful.
Yeah.
Riza, I got right out of your...
I'm sold. I'm signing up.
Yay! I love you all. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. I also wanted to talk about, I know you have, like you mentioned singing, you do have a new single out as well, correct?
Yeah.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I have a song called Back and Forth, and it's out on every streaming platform, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google.
Can I hear it on Hulu? Just kidding.
On Hulu? You really love Hulu. I love you.
I know, but he, mind you, he's on a Netflix show.
Yes, I am. I don't know why I am.
It's a bit.
I can't. I'm a little behind with The Crown. I'm on season 4 finally. I've been obsessed with binge watching The Crown. Have you all seen The Crown?
I actually, no. I haven't.
You're like, no.
I just don't.
Listen, I think you'll love this. I've been binging like stuff from the 90s that I was watching. Like because all the UPN stuff like went on Netflix and I was like, Moesha, the game, like all the, the Girlfriend. Like, you know, like these are shows that I also watched when your shows were on.
It's good to watch it now as an adult, because you see a lot of stuff that you didn't pick up when you were younger. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. But no, just getting back to my music. Listen, I've always had a couple singles out and available. So if people want to know more about it, like literally just go to AlisaReyes.com and you can literally get all my links for all my music. I love to sing dance music, upbeat pop music. I'm like, you know, that J-Lo frequency. I love to sing, dance, and act. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you got it, flaunt it. That's what I say.
Sure.
Words to live by, seriously.
That's it.
It's what I tell everybody when I walk out my house. No, I wish.
Excuse me.
That's when I dressed half naked in Miami. And I'm like, hey, you guys, they're like, what are you wearing? I'm like, if you got it, you flaunt it.
Okay? That's right. That is right.
You guys missed the pre-recording combo between me and Alisa. Okay. She knows the tea. Sorry.
Yes, you missed it. It's what's that like? It's a RuPaul show. If you haven't watched Untucked,
you're only getting out the show. Story. Oh my God.
I love RuPaul, so don't get me started.
Yes.
Okay, who's your favorite drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race, Alisa?
Well, this past season, I really honestly loved Gottmik.
Yeah,
Gottmik. I was a little sad that Gottmik didn't win. Don't get me wrong. You know,
right,
I
Simone
loved all the
you're
other.
Right, right,
I love Simone, but I feel like it would have been a really iconic moment for the LGBT community. And, you know, we don't know why what happens happens, but we do know Simone was definitely a favorite from the beginning. And I guess overall, it just was who she got partnered up with, you know, and that's kind of what
happened.
That's
exactly what I tell everybody. Mm-hmm. It was
the way things got partnered.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think? I think Alisa needs to add another thing to her resume and be a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I
don't know. That's already in the works.
Oh my God!
You heard it here first.
Mira! No soy bruja para nada.
I would do it. I would lose my mind if I saw you on Drag Race.
I honestly, I've been watching that show from day one, and I just, I want to just be dressed up like them.
It's honestly, I mean, we just had two past contestants on the podcast, and their episodes are about to come out. But I just remember telling both you guys, they drag queens put so much work, and I'm like, I respect that so much.
Yeah. More than the way that we putting on one eyelash was work for me.
I mean, listen, if I put moisturizer on in the morning and I put the sunscreen on top. I'm like
a
god of
day.
Myself.
It's a fancy day.
She dressed up.
What are you going to prom, Risa?
It's like, okay, wow. What are you going to do next? Brush your hair? I'm roasting myself at the end of
that. That's great, though. You gotta listen. You're a good comedian. That's what they say. If you can't make fun of yourself, you can't make it up fun of nobody else.
Mm-hmm. That's real. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, Alisa, you were so fun. We were so happy to have you on the podcast. I also just wanted to mention before we go, you are glowing, looking so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited for everything coming out. And, you know, we want to make sure that all that our fans follow you on all things. Alisa, where can they follow you on the socials and anything else that will be coming out soon?
Just two things. There'll be new episodes of The Proud Family called The Proud Family Louder and Prouder coming on Disney Plus.
Nice.
I cannot wait for people to see the new episodes. We've been working really hard. We just have Kiki Palmer that just joined the cast. And
I love her.
On my Instagram, some new artwork that Disney is allowing us to share. And last year, because she kind of looks a little older. She's just got a little bit of a shape. And I just did a bunch of new press stuff for Disney. So, I mean, get ready because this is going to be really, really iconic. And then I have a movie out called Break Even that came out in December. Mm-hmm. And I play one of the leads and it's about four friends. We find 50 mil and we're on the run being chased by cops and DEA and drug dealers. So you definitely want to watch that.
And where can I catch it? Is there a streaming place where I can catch it?
Now you can buy that on Amazon.
Okay. All right.
Just follow me on social media at Alisa Reyes. I'm pretty much on all the platforms. And if you want more information about my coaching, go to alisareyes.com.
What fantastic. An absolute delight. Thank you.
Thank you so much
for gracing us with your presence.
I love you. And hopefully maybe we could do this again in the future. This was so much fun.
And oh my gosh, yes.
And
hopefully
in person. At our future live show.
By then Proud Family will be out so we can maybe talk more Proud Family stuff.
Yes. I also had a quick question actually before we give our handles as well. What are you on Cameo? Do you do Cameo?
I'm on Jemmy. I'm on Candy. I'm on all these different sites. Vidsig. I think it's a great intimate way for me to talk to fans. So, you know, my handle is Alisa Reyes. And if you go to my Instagram and my Twitter, I have a link tree that drops down and you can see how to connect with me and we could just make your shout out so special.
Good. I wanted to make sure because I had talked to a couple friends and mentioned when I was interviewing you, they're like, oh my God, Luciana. And I was like, yep. And they were so excited. And I was like, I wonder if she has Cameo. Cause that's a really cool thing to have.
Cameo is awesome.
If you do VOs, especially how freaking cool. But yes, okay, good. I'm glad I asked you that and you plugged it. Woo! All right. Well, everybody else, you guys can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG and at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony at frequencyfriends.com. Ooh. Just kidding. It's the Tony Roderick on everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, etc. And you can check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen.
Oh,
wherever
you listen. You gotta do it like Tony.
And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show. Alisa, thank you. Thank you. A million thank you for joining us.
I love you. Te amo mucho. Siempre mi corazón todo.
Eso.
Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.